Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Versions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, September 23rd, 2015. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the podcast, I'm talking to Zeke Higgins, the co-host of Behind the Magic, a daily Disney fan podcast publishing a new episode every weekday. Welcome to the show, Zeke.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
So, you know, this was kind of one of the things that when I started doing the Wednesday show, the midweek show, we wanted to do some more of this to kind of help introduce the Diz Dads community to some of the broader Disney community. And I've been listening to Behind the Magic quite a bit lately. I think we've had a lot of fun with it. And Diz Dad James Cameron just was on your show just this past Monday and happened to, in a great defensive battle, prevail and get the Diz Dads to the second round of your Behind the Magic podcast tournament, which been really intriguing to see this start to come together. But I wanted to give the guys a chance to maybe get to know you a little bit better. So why don't we start off by having you tell us a little bit about kind of where you got the idea of doing a daily Disney podcast.
Okay. Well, I guess the idea to have a podcast was what came first. So it's really sure. Kind of a unique, interesting story where I've always had a passion for Disney. I've always been a 2 week a year traveler.
Right.
However, right. My first social media interaction, I guess you could call it, is I was a streamer on twitch.tv. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Okay. A little bit, mostly because I think that my kids have been showing it to me some now and then. That's where I get to lament being an old man. I understand it. Well, go ahead. Why don't you describe it for the guys? Because you'll do a better job than I will.
All right. So for anybody who doesn't know what Twitch.tv is, it's a gaming channel, so most of the people with kids in the key, 9, maybe even younger to like 15, know that YouTube is all about watching PewDiePie and gamers, and it's all about gaming channels. And Twitch.tv is live streaming the gaming. So instead of being pre-recorded, edited, and all that, you're just live and on air and gaming.
Right. So I think that the reason that I knew about Twitch, and it took me a second to place it, is that we played around a little bit at one point with doing some just sort of live streaming when guys were on vacation. They'd stick a webcam on their balcony or whatever just to give us all a feel for being there with them a little bit. And around the time we were doing that, we were looking at the different options. And at that time, that was right when Justin TV and Twitch TV were sort of coming together.
Oh, Justin TV. Wow, that takes me back. That's...
Yeah, it's back a while. Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's I knew that I recognized the name and was trying to place it. And that's where it was.
Yeah. And
okay, so you started out streaming on Twitch. I'm sorry, I interrupted you, so I was trying to bring you back up.
Okay. So I started streaming on Twitch, and I had I wasn't by any means a headliner, but I had a great core following and everything. And Rachel, the other co-host, actually participated in my stream and helped me with a lot of the administrative stuff. Like, she knew about the different programs to run so that, you know, you could have people select their own music. She knew... My key game was Minecraft, as it was extremely popular, and it still is. Sure. And so she would help me set up, you know, the servers for when we were doing events and things like that. And she herself was on a different podcast that is not around anymore. It was one of the another one of those that sadly did not last as long as any of them should have.
Right, yeah. That's we often talk about, you know, actually just came up today that various fan podcasts and blogs come and go, and it seems that, you know, some of the best, like, stream across in, you know, 3 months, and they're gone, and you wonder where they went.
Yeah, so I was going to help them figure out how to reach a different demographic, because your traditional Disney podcast demographic versus your Twitch TV watching demographic is generally a different audience range.
Sure.
And so I was trying to, like, tell them some of the things that the viewers of my stream and some of the things that my key demographic would look for in a podcast. And from that, she decided... Not Rachel, but the other person working on that podcast decided that probably wouldn't fit well, and they were ending their podcast. They just decided to just call it quits, sadly. And okay. So me and Rachel decided we were just going to run forward with our podcast, which originally was going to be like a 15-minute segment before that launched separately, but, you know, was 3 or 4 times a week. And then once... that closed down, which was really early on in the first couple of weeks, we just said, hey, we're going to do a daily and we're going to run with it. And that's where the daily came from.
Okay. So that's interesting. So the shorter format really grew out of initially being a segment of a bigger, essentially of a bigger show.
It was going to be a standalone, but it was going to be a lead-in type show, like kind of like an opening act.
Right.
But
right.
The YouTube videos and everything like that. If you look at times, aside from long gameplay videos and things like that, but if you look at big channels of informational game, the Game Theorist is probably a good one to reference. You know, it's 15 minutes. That's about a good absorbable amount where most people have 15 minutes. So we called ourselves the snack credit.
Right, the snack credit of Disney podcasts. I like that.
Yes. So if you're just running to the grocery store, you're not going to be able to listen to that 4-hour podcast that's out there, no matter how good it is. But you can spare the 15 minutes. And so rather than an hour, we're still an hour and a half a week about, but it's just broken down by day.
Right. Okay. Well, that's very interesting. And, you know, as somebody who's been doing this now for, you know, I guess 4 years now, you know, one of my biggest struggles is always to keep the show, you know, within reasonable time constraints. The early shows, we did multiple segments and they just got sprawling because, you know, when we've got a panel going and everybody's wanting to talk and, maybe it's my failing as a host, but I just can't seem to pull it back. And I love the way that you guys manage to just kind of keep things moving, keep it tight. And those 15-minute episodes just are really great. The concept works well. So kudos to you guys.
Thank you.
For that. I wanted to, you know, kind of take us a step maybe beyond talking about the show itself, because, you know, one of the things that you and I chatted about online when we were first kind of talking about having you come on and you know, talk to the guys really about your show is that we've always had this concept among the Diz Dads community that being a dad isn't just about, you know, having children. There are plenty of people who have children who don't really do the dad role. And on the other hand, there are some really great people who fulfill that role of being a male role model who helps to pass on this passion that we share for Disney to another generation of Disney fans. And I love your references on the show to the Fuse. So talk just a little bit about, you know, the how your connection with your nephews kind of fits in with your passion for the parks.
Okay, so of course, it's more fun going to Disney than it is talking about Disney, as all of us who podcast know.
Right.
So getting to go with them is a real privilege. I actually get to babysit the middle school-aged few on 3 times a week, you know, when I'm not at work or if I have an early day. So okay. He's kind of the one that I've bonded the most with, and the other two younger ones, I'm still the cool uncle, but, you know, like, DuckTales would be the reference I like to use. Like,
okay.
I'll passionately call them Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Right.
So we get to go to the park together, and when we go down there, I get to be the one who gets to take the oldest one on the roller coaster when the other two are afraid, or gets to hang out in the dig site with the youngest one because they don't want to go on Dinosaur.
Okay.
But I also get to have them, they'll stay over because I'll have a separate room, but I'll still get the two double beds and they can stay over so that the parents can have a romantic Cinderella-esque evening.
Very nice. So it's a little, you know, bonus for the, you know, the rest of the family as well, that you get to kind of, everybody gets a bonus out of it.
Yes.
Great.
So
great.
Did you have a question about specifically what things that I would share or?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was kind of where I was headed next, which is, you know, are there particular things that have been sort of the things you've most enjoyed sharing with them, or maybe the things that, you know, surprised you the most about, you know, something you shared with them and they really enjoyed something that maybe you didn't expect?
Okay, so I'm going to pull the guy card on this one. It's got to be Marvel, and it's got to be Star Wars, like, sharing those, even before Star Wars was officially Disney, I was the let's get up early with the Star Wars fan, which is the oldest one who I spend a lot of time with, and we would go to the parks and for the Star Wars weekends. So it was all about those, you know, action-y, adventure-y, cool things. And I will confess, I have. It's a room, but it's like a converted pantry. It's a comic book room. So okay. They like to go in there and read some of the comics in there. A lot are Marvel. Some are DC. Don't tell the mouse.
We acknowledge the existence of the DC universe among the dads. You know, Disney's connection with Marvel is still pretty fresh.
Yeah, but what they have done with the franchise is amazing. Like, one thing I like to do is I like to take that trip down memory lane with the Fuse, because they didn't get to, like, grow up with DuckTales or the classics. And the
sure.
good thing is they get it filtered, so, like, they don't have to see some of the stuff that was out there. Like, they've missed High School Musical, which was okay, but by like High School Musical 7 had worn its track.
Right. Yeah, you get to pick the highlights out for them, and then, you know, they don't have to wade through the worst of it along the way.
Yep. And then they teach me a lot. You know,
oh, yeah?
They get
cool.
to keep my I mean, I think going with a kid to Disney is amazing. because they keep your perspective fresh. I mean, it's almost better to go with a kid, and going alone is amazing too as an adult and stuff, but taking a child to Disney and seeing the wonder in their eyes, or just doing anything at Disney with them, is one of those like lifetime highlights.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I still say that my absolute favorite Disney memory ever is not even anything Disney, but it's looking at my son's face while he watched the Welcome Show for the first time.
Nice.
And just seeing that look. All right. Well, here's what I'd like to do. You know, I'm going to reach way back to the early days of the Diz Dads podcast. And for the first, probably 6 months or so that we did the show, we had a regular feature that we did on the show that we called 10 questions. So I'd like to invite you to the hot seat, Zeke, and through 10 questions. The Diz Dads 10 questions with Zeke.
All right. I am prepared. Is this kind of like the payback for the tough trivia questions?
These are much easier questions because they're all opinion. so they're much easier.
Yeah, but as Rachel frequently tells me, my opinion can be wrong.
Well, yes, that's her job as your co-host. I suspect that generally speaking, most of the guys will be nicer. I can't guarantee what Carl will do. All right. Question number one. And some of these are just, you know, get to know you kinds of things. So question number one, where do you live and what do you do for a living?
So I live in Massachusetts. So up in the Northeast. So we get all four seasons.
Yep.
And I like it cold. Like, I have air conditioner in the summer. My ideal temperature is 60 degrees all the time. So where I go to Florida often in the summer, that can be a challenge. And then I am in retail management.
All right, cool.
For a job. So has its ups and downs and its side to sides.
Yes, as do most jobs. So in whatever level of detail or style you would prefer, describe your family for us.
So there are my parents who had myself late in life, so they are older. They are already in their late 60s. And then there is my sister and her husband and the three Fuse.
Right.
And we are I guess it's not really a modern family. There's no, I guess it's well, quasi-traditional family.
Yeah,
no sitcom being made off this.
It seems to me that even a traditional family that's still a functioning group together in the 21st century is by default the modern family. You survived.
We went to tribal with the torches.
So now we're going to get into some more of the Disney questions. And what's your favorite off the beaten path location at Walt Disney World?
Does this count Tom Sawyer's Island? Because I feel like it's off the beaten path. Or do you want me to go like more off the beaten path? Disney Quest, before they tore it down, was like hardcore number one.
Okay. No, I mean, I think Tom Sawyer Island is a perfectly good answer. It's well known. People know about it. But I think that it's a good example of some place that, a lot of people just bypass because it's not an e-ticket attraction. So, what is it about Tom Sawyer Island?
I said, got to bring the paintbrushes back.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's interesting. I very rarely hear people talk about spending time over there since they got rid of the paintbrushes. And the irony of that is that most of those folks weren't there first thing in the morning to look for them anyway. But it seems like since the paintbrushes have gone, there's just less incentive to get over there. Were there other things about Tom Sawyer Island that you especially like besides the paintbrush search?
it's just a good place to go and unwind, and it's very immersive, like Disney is, and it's a good place if you have, if you want to sit down and let the kids run, you can do that. If you want to go play with a pop gun as a grown adult, you can go do that as well. It's one of those, it's kind of like the dig site that kind of takes you out of Animal Kingdom and makes you feel like you're just in the dig site itself. It's one of those things where you, as much as Disney is amazing, it's kind of cool that you can forget you're in Disney.
Very nice. Yeah, it's like that immersive environment within the immersive environment. All right, so, you know, we also acknowledge that not everything is on a level playing field when it comes to just how magical it feels. So in that side of things, what's your least favorite place at Walt Disney World?
Country Bear Jamboree.
Is it just the creepy bears, or is there something, is there a particular...
I never thought it was good as a kid, I guess. I mean, I guess if I was older, I would have been more nostalgic towards it, but it just, it never hit home with me. And I don't begrudge other people for loving it, but not my cup of tea.
Okay. Yeah, you know, you just came back with that answer really quickly, so I, you know, had to wonder whether there was some childhood trauma involved there.
Oh, no, no. No Five Nights at Freddy's in Country Bear Jamboree going on.
All right, so who is your favorite animated Disney character?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Darkwing Duck would probably be it.
So are you one of those who's still holding out hope for a return to the parks by Darkwing?
No. Maybe when I went during the year of memories, or the year of, what was that? What was it called when they had like Dapper Dan singing current songs and?
Oh, right. The limited time magic.
Yes, limited time magic. Like maybe during that, but now that it's over, he's not coming back. He's, you know, it's a good nostalgic thing. If they relaunch the show, maybe, but.
Right,
I don't even see the show holding up nowadays.
So what? What sound or noise do you love?
I would have to say the entrance music to Epcot.
Ooh, good answer. What sound or noise do you hate?
Can I say the Country Bear Jamboree?
You can.
All right. Any noise that comes out of there.
If you could pick any career in the world, and it's not just Disney, if you could do anything you wanted to do, what would it be?
It would be Disney. Well, I mean, realistically, I'd love for the podcast to take off and become an online media entertainer, but... Plan 1B would be to actually be a tour guide at Disney. Working at Disney, I would take any job at Disney when I retire. I don't care if I'm in a studio apartment eating ramen noodles. I just want to... that is my end goal. And I guess it's not like aiming high, eating ramen noodles in a studio apartment, but just working for Disney would be it. And not to sound all pixie duster-ish, but... I would definitely say tour guide would be the most fun, just getting to share and talk about it.
Sure.
Kind of like we try and do when we podcast and stuff.
Hey, and you look spiffy and plaid, so.
Who doesn't, though? Well, let's be honest.
So what job, we just talked about the dream job, what job would you absolutely not want to do?
Like, out of anything?
Out of anything.
Does unemployment count?
No, it's got to be some job. I mean, the point is, you know, what's the bottom rung for Zeke?
I guess something that would... I would definitely say something that would take me away from my family, my nephews, my parents, my sister and brother-in-law. Anything that would take me away for any span of time. So working on an oil rig, whatever it is. If it, I'm a family first kind of person.
Okay. Great answer. Great answer. All right. So the next one is interesting in light of your, you know, dream job answer. Because here's the question, and it's very specific. If you could be a Disney cast member for 1 year, and only for 1 year, what job would you do for that year?
Probably the Parks COO.
All right. So what's the first thing that, that Parks COO Zeke does when he gets put in charge of Disney's Animal Kingdom?
It depends on what happens with the new Avatar movie. I actually wouldn't overhaul much because, A, things would be in progress. And I'll take the job realistically. When a COO goes in, they can't just, like, red light every project and overhaul everything, or they'll be fired within a week. But what I would do is I would figure out a way to make Disney more affordable. And I think the parks come a long way in some aspects, but it's taken steps back in others. And I love Disney, and I'd want to figure out a way for more people to experience Disney at a cheaper price. And so I would figure out how to get ticket prices down, how to, you know, maybe build some off-site destination hotels that are even cheaper than the value resorts, things like that.
All right. All right. Sounds good. A leader of the people, as they say.
Just want to share right, the so, magic.
Huh?
I said, just want to share the magic. I don't know. I am like truly like a disease obsessed with Disney in like probably an unhealthy way.
Aren't we all though? Really?
Psychiatrist would have a field day. Yeah. So, all of us who are out here in the podcast world. Yes, we probably.
Yeah. This is what
probably
I'm
probably our psychiatrist dream come true.
All right. So, I'd like to kind of turn the controls over to you for a minute and just ask you, you know, what is it that you would like the Diz Dads community to know about Behind the Magic and maybe, you know, the best way for them to connect with what you're, you know, bringing on the show?
Well, if they're looking for us, it's btmpodcast.com. You can find all of our social media and everything from there. But just be part of the community. I think, you know, we love that you're coming on and doing our trivia. We love that you're having us on. I think our favorite thing is when fans come on, when other podcasts come on.
If you were to describe the perspective of Behind the Magic podcast to, you know, the Diz Dads listener community so that they'd get an idea of what to expect. What would you tell them?
Basically, the way I would describe it is we are 15 minutes, so we are like, we are short. We're there. If you've got a kid who doesn't have an attention span, it's a podcast you can listen to with them because I don't have an attention span, so that's why I said 15 minutes and we made it. We kind of try and keep it fast paced and going in that 15 minutes. So our editing style deflates a lot so that it's one thing after another. We use news segments in a 1 minute portion. We have different segments from a lot of great people from the community that are 2 minute daily segments. And so that instead of having another person on and inflating the discussion, we get a whole other topic in a nice, small, digestible chunk.
All right. Well, Zeke, thanks so much for coming on the Dad Show and talking to us a bit about Behind the Magic podcast. I'm having a lot of fun listening. We're enjoying the tournament quite a bit and just looking forward to seeing where it takes us next.
And thank you for having me on. And you guys made it to round two, as everybody heard. So we look forward to the creative aspect. Do you know who your champion is yet?
I don't know for sure yet. I have a possibility, but I haven't committed yet because I have to decide whether I want to take creative or wit. And so, it's dangerous to gamble on making it to another round.
Yes. So when do you want to play the cards? So I will give you a little bit of a spoiler for you and your listeners. The creative, though one person has to kind of be the voice of it, it can be a collaborative effort. So
keep
that in mind.
Okay. Well, that's helpful. All right. Well, again, thanks so much for coming on the show, and I've had a lot of fun talking to you, and I'm looking forward to seeing where Behind the Magic takes us next.
We will be taking you behind the magic. Thank you for having me on, and thank you to all the listeners out there who took the time to listen to hear about what Behind the Magic was about and what we have to offer.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment. And there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.